Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a thankful Thursday. We are thankful for a lot, and by the way, I'm thankful for certain people. Like the ones I'm about to bring in. So we do a segment every Thursday. You know the deal. On Thankful Thursday, we also do a segment we call Butters and Lee. So that being said, I'm going to call the roll on two people who are amazing at what they do and who provide so much background commentary to what we do. Sitting here in studio with me right now, Mr. Smooth as Butter, the digital dude of Dicta, that would be Butters. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
You like that intro?
I'm going to have to process that later, exactly what was said.
All right, calling in from the northern part of our listening area, the diva of divination, the maven of madcap opinionation, that would be Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I am here.
I'm not sure she likes her. She had a very reserved. All right, I pronounce it. Let's do a round of Butters and Lee. Oh, that's all wrong. Did you just hit the wrong...
They're right next to each other.
I'm still thankful for you.
You know, try that one more time.
Butters and Lee. All right, you guys. You know the deal. I ask questions. You have answers. We flip the script on the second round. You ask me questions. Here's the deal. First question. Kash Patel was in Huntsville yesterday, and he exhorted the virtues of Redstone Arsenal and its impact on the FBI. He committed to building more buildings and bringing in like 500 plus more employees. Basically, it's going to be a huge installation. It's going to have an FBI campus on Redstone. I just want to know what your basic thoughts are. And Lee, I'm going to start with you because I know that you're running that ground up there. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, it's good for Huntsville. It's growth. It's kind of a southern command for the FBI. I mean, under Donald Trump and Kash Patel, I have a lot of hope that the FBI can change its image, can kind of straighten up and fly right, if you will, and not be because some of the things I've seen over the past 4 years have been concerning as far as FBI goes, and how they were using the FBI more as a wing of lashing out against political enemies.
Yeah.
And I want to see more of what the FBI used to be, because we never had that concern as far as the FBI being political, really up until the Obama years. And I want to see us go back to that. I also hope Space Command comes quickly as well. It does involve a lot of growth here, and I think Huntsville is moving as quickly as it can to accommodate the growth, and I think they're doing a good job. It just means more traffic and more houses. But I mean, if we're going to grow, I'd like to grow this way.
So, how many lanes does the parkway have to be to accommodate everybody right now? You think?
I mean, I think the parkway's okay. Really, traffic in Huntsville is honestly, I know people won't look at it that way, but it's not that bad. Madison is ungodly. But Huntsville, actually, the traffic is not terrible.
Well, you know,
not if you've, I've lived in places with real traffic.
Yeah. And in fact, although I will say this, if you've ever tried to get in the gate, the main gate at Redstone in the morning during rush hour, good luck.
I don't have to do that, so I'll take your word.
I was out there not long ago, and, you know, not having come and gone during rush hour to Redstone in quite a while, I got stuck, and I was literally in a line that was a mile long. And the line, by the way, was, I think it was like six or seven lanes wide, and it was still a mile long. I was like, my gosh, this is unreal. All right, wow. Butterman, Kash Patel, FBI, big doings. What do you think?
So I guess first and foremost, the biggest thing would be don't add 500 more people to the FBI.
To the FBI.
Right. Like, so if you're going to, that's great. And, good rah-rah for Huntsville. But don't add 500 more people to the FBI. Does not seem like by any account or any measure that we need to go the opposite way. So move people to Huntsville.
He was talking about transferring.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what they're doing.
As long as they're doing that, great. All that being said, as far as the FBI is concerned and rah-rah on Kash, some people need to get hauled off in handcuffs. Otherwise, I'm not really all going to, you know, be that all excited about what's going on with the FBI. Like, some people need to get handcuffed and do a perp walk for me to be super excited about the FBI.
So basically you're saying Peter Strzok better show up sometime soon on a perp walk or you're going to be really bothered.
Somebody. I mean, this is, but, you know, I will say, you know, I've seen a lot of people talking on the internet, you know, calm down, take a breath.
Yeah.
You know, Bongino's only been there for a month. You know,
Cash's only been there for 2 months.
Right. You know, so I get that. But no, I mean, I don't want to take away from it's a great opportunity for Huntsville. It makes a lot of sense to spread out. And if they're going to spread somewhere else, why not come here to Alabama?
Yeah, I think it was a coup for Alabama. You know, I think it's one of those things, too, that in I know you have butters. Maybe Lee, I don't know if you have, too. We've been outside the state and. You know, a lot of folks who've never been here before, they don't have what I would call the proper perception of what's really here. Mm. They don't know that, like, one of the highest per capitas of doctorate degrees in any southern city is in Huntsville, Alabama. They don't know the space program. They don't know the material command. They don't know about the FBI. They don't know that Space Command really earned the right to be here. They just think of Alabama from the 1960s, and that's not where we are anymore. I think this is good for Alabama in many ways.
I think assuming
that's what the media does.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
Assuming a lot of those folks come from the D.C. area, I think they're going to be pretty happy with what they can get for their money as far as a house and yeah, all that. I know, you know, as far as Alabama is concerned, housing prices are more up there in that area. But coming from D.C.,
I'm going to bet there's a bunch of conversations being had over coffee in the morning at people's houses in D.C. going, I don't know, honey, but it's my job and we got to go there. And I'm sorry. But, you know, and then they get here and they're going to go, we are never leaving. We can buy what kind of house? We can drive safely. We can, anyway, I think it's going to be.
People are friendly?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's jump on to the next question before I run out of time. So there's a bill right now that I've been really harping on the last couple of days, and we'll spend more time on it today. It's Senate Bill 186 in the Alabama legislature. Utah already did this. Alabama has now, for 3 years in a row, had this bill active in the legislative process. All it does is turn on an existing filter on phones for minors. Like when you buy a phone, if you're buying it for your child, at the point of sale, they have to just activate the phone and turn on the filter and give the passcode to the parents. It costs nothing. It's already there. But big tech does not want this porn filter turned on. They're fighting it, and they have for several years. In your opinion, why is big tech fighting this? You first, Tom Butters.
Well, so obviously I will agree completely that we need to do everything we can to protect our kids. So I'll play a little devil's advocate on kind of understanding what my understanding is of what's going on with the tech. So how do you enforce that, first of all? Not saying we shouldn't try it, but how do you enforce, you know, a state level? Because who, you know, I don't ever buy my phones from anywhere inside of Alabama. Every time I get a phone, I get it shipped to me.
That's fair.
I don't want to deal with anybody. So do they have to implement that at the national level? And as I understand, they're going to, so part of setting up the phone would be entering a birth date and an age requirement. Well, that changes the software. Not necessarily a huge deal, but you really kind of want to do that across the board. Otherwise, you know, doing it state by state. So it does become a bit more of a technical challenge. Again, let's figure out a way, you know, how, but that's what I understand is why big tech is kind of pushing back on some of this. You know, but
I got a thought on that. I'll come back to it.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely, it shouldn't be poo-pooed, shouldn't be shot down. Like, it's a good conversation that we need to be having, right? What are we doing to protect? How are we, you know, how are we doing it? And surely, you know, I guess my question would be, why are we not doing this at a federal level? Why are we doing this at a state level? Why are we not just doing it? If it's sold in America, this is the way it should be.
Oh, I agree with that. But right now, it's states are having to be the ones to do it.
Yep.
Lee, what do you think? Why is big tech balking on just turning on an existing porn filter on kids' phones?
I mean, they state privacy concerns, which is garbage because they're spying so much on us. I mean, give me a break. they state that certain websites with, like, LGBTQ information will be falsely labeled as porn. I don't know about that being false. And basically, it's a lot of stuff like that, and that they're saying it's not going to work anyway because a brand new porn site will be able to get around the filter. I just think that all of these sound like Charlie Brown's teacher to me. We need to stop kids from seeing porn. Full stop, end of story. Kids, porn rewires their brain. They do not need to watch it. They do not need to see it. And anything we can possibly do to stop a child from seeing porn, we need to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on with our legislature that this is, but it's like the What is the Woman thing. It took three times to get through as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
like,
a great point.
What is wrong with us?
That's a great point.
What is wrong with our state legislature? This is a gimme. This is easy. Just do it. And if you don't, you damn well going to have to stand and explain to me why you want our children to see porn.
I think perfectly well said. You know, and to the point about whether you buy your phone out of state, the enforcement provisions of this would not hold someone liable who had no authority to make a change or did not have any interaction with the phone being set up. So if you order a phone and it comes to you as a blank slate and you're setting up your own phone, it came from out of state, I don't think they're going to hold the manufacturer accountable or the seller accountable. But in this case, although, I mean, it's not hard. If they're setting it up for you and then shipping it to you with all your device preloads, then maybe they should. But because they already collect taxes for your locale on online sales. So why can't they just go, oh, it's in Alabama. Hey, flip that switch. That's all they got to do. But at the same time, though, what we can do is put a fence around the filter in Alabama at the point of sale. Like if I go to the Verizon store and buy my phone, mm-hmm. somebody goes to the Apple store and buys their phone, it's too easy. We're going to activate your phone for you, sir. Would you like you to set your password up now? Okay. Did you want to go ahead and import your contacts? Certainly. And oh, by the way, is this for a child? Yes, it is. Click. That's all they got to do.
So I definitely don't want to get raked over the coals in the comments and the text. I'm not for.
Did you hear Butters?
I don't want our kids. But I will say, overall, we need to make sure that we're not thinking this is some easy button. And that we're taking any onus off of parents have got to learn. You've got to learn the technology. If you're going to let the kids have the technology, you need to learn it as well.
All right. I'll leave it right there. And I agree. Parents, you better take some responsibility. But at the same time, we do regulate some things regarding kids already. So let's go for it. Let's take a break. We're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. Round two, Butters and Lee. This is where they flip the script and ask me questions. And I just hold my breath and wait sure I got an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, round two, Butters and Lee. So I think I went Butters first last time. So I'll say, Lee, you first this time. What question do you have for moi?
So Pope Francis just recently departed.
Yeah.
And I know that there are some Roman Catholics that were less than thrilled with him as a pope because of his kind of leftist nature. And they were hoping they'd bring some more, you know, conservative candidates back in. But considering Francis nominated or put in place 110 of the 130-something voting cardinals, what do you think the chances that we're going to get anything but just exactly Pope Francis all over again?
You know, it's funny you say that. So, so Pope Francis, he definitely was, he leaned more towards the progressive left on what I would call the social issues. And he raised the ire of a number of people around the world to include, you know, adherent Catholics. And people don't realize, by the way, sometimes you got to stop and think. The Catholic Church, and I don't say this with any kind of animus at all, I'm just saying in reality, the Catholic Church, its size and scope and influence is bigger than most countries in the world. They have amazing influence, and the Pope knows that. And basically, he's been given the authority to say and do certain things. My hope, and I did see one commentary the other day, said that he's hearing from within leadership of the Catholic Church that there is a move towards a more conservative adherence to Scripture, presentation of the gospel, and getting back to the basics, so I'm hoping that's what's going to happen. The one place too that he really drew a lot of ire was on the question of illegal immigration. He was very soft on it. If I'm not mistaken, I think he even called out the Trump administration for its desire to do mass deportations and that kind of thing, and yet had a very cordial visit the day before he died with Vice President J.D. Vance. which I thought was very cool and very classy. And it's a clear indication that you can disagree on certain topics and still sit down together and you know, and recognize the basics that you share. So, yeah, to, about to answer your question, my hope is to see what I would call a more more conservative, traditional pope. And I'm not Catholic, so I got no say in it, but I can pray for it. And right. I think I speak for a lot of Catholics who feel the same way, that that's what they would want, too. What you got on Butters?
I was just going to say, having served on a few pastoral search committees, can you imagine the politicking?
Oh, it's epic.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy. But I love the fact, too, that when they take them inside, first thing they did, they actually scanned the room for bugs. I saw that on a report today. They scanned the room for bugs. They sealed off certain doors so they couldn't be used. And they take up all phones. When the cardinals go in for these conclaves, they are isolated from the world. And so the politicking occurs within that group as opposed to the broader world. All right, Lee, before I run out of time, I got to move over to the Butterman. But did you have any comment real quick on your question?
No, I just imagine, Butters, if you're in a pastoral search committee and you're all locked in there together until you find somebody.
Folks, the soccer game starts in a little while. We got to get done. All right, let's jump over to Butterman. What you got for me, bud?
All right, so Hegseth.
Yeah.
The Pentagon.
Yeah.
So I listened to one of the guys that was removed, his interview with Tucker Carlson. Seems like seems like there's more going on. And because he worked with Hegseth for 10 years, you know, enlisted Marine. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on what's going on behind the curtain with all this this stuff?
I don't think there's near as much behind the curtain as the media would want you to believe. I don't think you're going to have a group of type A personalities and not have some disagreement. I don't think you're ever going to have an organization where the guy at the top doesn't draw some fire from the people who serve under him or her. And that being said, I think the rank and file, though, by and large, the people that should matter in this are generally speaking favorable towards what Hegseth's been able to do. Recruiting numbers show it. And to the main point here, his boss, President Trump, has openly expressed his satisfaction with the job performance thus far. So me personally, I talk to a lot of folks still in the rank and file. I'm sure you do too. And everything I'm hearing right now is thumbs up. We're okay. But the media does not want that. And I think the media still remembers the halcyon days of getting rid of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And they're hoping they can find a way to pick off another one. And the worst thing Trump could do was believe for a second that if he gave them another one of his guys, that it would stop there. Right Side Radio. We will be right back.